Good evening, Rebbe. How are you?
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Very well. Thank you. I just spoke to Yaakov. Everything seems to be moving along with the, hopefully, with the Teres Chaim. He sent me updates on New Shirim.
Yes.
So.
He worked hard, Yaakov.
So Baruch Hashem.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So we're holding here. Okay, so we're in the middle, we're towards the end of the piece where he's speaking about the difference between Umas Olam and Bar Yisrael in terms of, Olam Haba, Olam Hazan, and so on. And he spoke about why there's no Sechar, why the Sechar Olam Haba is not mentioned in the Torah. And he says, the Ik Olam Haba is L'Hashem Hashem L'Kardok V'Shechina, U'Bevari Yisrael Toiv Mizeh K'Shashchina Dvuka L'Mata, K'Shashchina Kavan Sabriya K'Yedua. And the Schazer is written many times. So basically his point is that the Schar of the Torah is written as a more as an end result rather than a reward. And therefore, the Torah is saying, by doing it, the mitzvahs, you will accomplish and achieve the tachlis that I set before you. I think we spoke about last time, the Chacham Sofer, that there's no reason to have written in Schar as an incentive. And in the Chanami, the Goyen says Schar is written as a Tachlis in the Bria, and the Tachlis in the Bria is that we bring our Kodesh Baruch into this world, and that's why it's written in the Torah, and it's what's written in the Torah is our Kodesh Baruch being in this world and so on. It's also a little bit of a different knach than the Marshal, the Rambam. The Rambam also obviously rejects that, the Tchar being the tachlis of what this world is for, of the physical Tchar. And therefore he has, the Rambam writes as follows, that the reason, the point for all of these things is to tell us that we are not going to be disturbed by any Olam Hazaka problems if we do what's right. So the Torah is saying, you want to do Avodas Hashem, we recognize that. If the more good you do, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take obstructions away from you. And Laslovo Mashiach comes, the same thing. All the good things promised are there in order not to be an obstruction. That's how the Rambam learns. He's going a Knesh Vaita, and he's saying the etzim fact that in this world we see a ruchnistic presence, that when Klai Yisrael does what's right and so on, things in the world go along with that rhythm, that is that itself is the Tachlis of the Bria, that our physical world should function with the laws that are beyond, and b'meila, that's what the Torah is writing. So the Torah is writing, if you do what's good, then the world will come to its shleimus as that being the intention or the tachlis of your doing good.
Is that okay. Something that will only come to pass at the Sof HaDeiros, or is that something that's constant, that when Klal Yisrael is in a good...
So in the Matzavim, when Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, and Yeshua the Muslim, and doing good and right, then that would have been the case in a general way. Klal Yisrael sitting in Eretz Yisrael, and the natural, the crops, and the enemies, and everything good for Klal Yisrael happening in step with their Torah mitzvahs, is a gilui of shchina. That's the gilui of shchina. It's the gilui that the mechanism that's running this world is ruchnius.
Mm-hmm. But in the past 2,000 years, this is not something we would have seen.
I guess it's a good kufis in Eretz Yisrael with David HaMelech and Shlomo when they were the spectacular victories and so on. Mm-hmm. Klal Yisrael, the fact that it's preserved and it's some, you know, Klal Yisrael is Kivsa Achas and Ben Umis, and then we still hold on. There's an element of Gilei HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. It's much more than that. You have, unfortunately, the Chil Hashem of the world being looking like, you know, Azar Hashem HaKadoshol. But at the end of the day, it's a full part of the you know, yes, it's part of what we did wrong, and it's sort of compounded by not only do we do wrong an averus per se, but we actually cause a tremendous chil Hashem by having everything look hefer, the Chal Yisrael, which is supposed to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ummah, is really, really in dread. So, you know, that's the, we talk about, we'll be held accountable for that also, that the world looks so straight because we did have Eretz.
But there is also, aside for like, you know, the Geula and the times that Klal Yisrael had a Beis HaMikdash and David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, there's small, I mean, I'm not so fluent in Jewish history, but there are, you know, what we call the Golden Age and you know, by the Sephardim and Spain and with the Rambam. Like, there are certain places that are milas. Are those reflections of Klal Yisrael as a whole as well? Or it's only in the more extreme sense when Klal Yisrael is kulei taiv, then we see this ruchnius manifesting?
I don't know. I'm not sure. In other words, I don't know how to look at it. The problem is the Golden Age is not always, as, you know, like the Maskilim and so on look at certain ages as being Golden Ages. Mm-hmm. I'm never sure if that's the case. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's certainly, I assume that when they started in Spain, things were good. And therefore, one would say that it could be that wasn't such a Kiddush Hashem at the time. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We don't look, the Spanish age had its difficulties, plenty of difficulties. And therefore, it's something which, you know, a lot of, I mean, people don't know, but more than, I think 50% of people shmad for other reasons.
Uh-huh.
You know, not because of that, but the credible amount. A lot of people became very Spanish. So hard to know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'll go upon him. So now the Goyen says the. So now he's going to he goes back to the point of saying this is the side of the no. Another Indian Shatarja Bixabta Shopem Shay Pchinas, Shine Bart Hidua. The Tarja Bitamtash Pes Shai Bart, and we spoke about before. And I'm not sure of the relationship of the two gear stars over here, but that's more or less the what we spoke about before. Pem Shay Pchinas Tam Vereach Canal. And that is Tam Vereach, the Lachain, Min Tarja Bixab, Nenin Mena Akum Atakinatareach. They have some sense. They have, and you know, what we would call colloquially today, they have a whiff of godliness. Which is tam, they have no shaykhs to. And like we spoke last time, tam relates to something that becomes part of us. A smell is always something beyond us. In other words, it draws me to something. Taste is when I'm incorporating something into myself. So in terms of Iksav, you can always sense a stickle ruchnius, but when it comes to taste, when it comes to making something part of yourself, to integrating yourself, that's only shayach in the world of tam. And the Mela, Goyim don't have a shayachas to it. So they can admire the Bible, they can look at it, but they can't really, really get themselves into it, the etzem. That's the... they don't have b'chinas ha-tam. By the way, this is very, very similar to the Marshal. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'ela Mishpatim, that you should be Oirechet L'Snehem K'Shulchan Ha'aruch, and with the Tam and so on. Don't think I'll just teach it to them, but you have to give them the Tam also. The Tam, in all senses of the word, the taste of it. It's also, when I give you a Hilchus Sabaloi timer, it's very hard to relate to it. Okay, you tell me this, what can I do? I'm not going to argue with you, but, it has the same Kabbalah and the Kabbalah. But the idea that a person should actually be able to dehear something, feel something, is that's only Shaykh in the world of Tam. So when you give me a reason for something, the word Tam meaning a reason, and the word Tam meaning taste, are very similar in this mahalach. It's just like if you feed me a medicine or some sort of stuff that I'm supposed to eat that I don't like, or worse than I don't like, it's tasteless. So I say, okay, you know what? But it's hard to get it down. It's hard to. When somebody tells me something that doesn't make any sense to me, but kachazeh. Okay, so I do what I have to do, but I have a really hard time. I memorize it and I keep it on the surface of my brain. It doesn't become obvious to me the way something where I have the tamad of it down and I dehear it and it makes sense and I have a geschmack in it. All of that is only shayach to things that with tam is shaylet.
Mm-hmm. I think I heard on that word where we was just saying about time of the reason and the taste. I don't want to misquote who it was, but I think it was Rav Gifter said in a shir that people think that time is the reason for the mitzvah. It's not a reason. The time is, maybe it might have been Rabbi Akiva Tat, and I'm not sure.
Right.
But it's not the reason. The time is the root. It's the root, but the root is not the source. The soil is the source of what provides the nourishment. The root is the conduit to get the nourishment into the tree. So a tam is just, it's a taste. We can't fathom what the reason really is behind the mitzvahs and the understanding, but we can get a taste, like a whiff, like Rabbi saying, that we could get a certain sense of what the mitzvah is.
And also, it's something that the tam that I feel in it, Lamash, let's take a marshal from back of the world of tam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Brias so that things that are fresh and ripe, both ripe and fresh, have very good taste. And when you eat an apple that's crisp and tasty, it happens to also be at the optimal time to eat it. If I eat an apple beforehand, it's sour and hard and monochrome. If I eat an apple afterwards, it's rotten, it stinks, it's yucky, it's mushy, and so on. So when I tell somebody, okay, here I'm teaching my child to look at apples, so I'm telling him, If it's green and hard, don't buy it. If it's red and juicy, buy it. If it's brown and moldy, don't buy it. So I'm describing a tam to him, and he picks up on that. But the real reason is because if it's hard and sour, it's not good yet for you. It doesn't, the fruit's not developed. If it's mushy and moldy, it's rotten, it's not healthy for you. It's when it's crisp and tasty, it happens to be at its best for you. And they go hand in hand because that's how Kashmir made it. So if I learn a Tama mitzvah and that becomes the Balabatash reason for doing it, that shortchanges the mitzvah tremendously. That's where the Vard is true. But if I do a Tama mitzvah and I understand that the geschmack that I feel from that reason or that reasoning is product of, it's a branch of the atmistic atam, then it becomes something that is very, very true. This is the reason, whatever it is that's geschmack about it, is a hemshech of the pnimius of it and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he says, b'zeshom be gemara the brachit shloisha dvarim bikesh Moshe tchulu shnayim nitnu lo ve'echad lo nitnu lo. Moshe asked for three things: two were given to him, one wasn't given to him. Bikesh etisha shchina yisrael v'nitnu lo. It was a spell that shchinish b'shan kaisel was given to him. Bikesh shloitisha shchina alum esayilam v'nitnu lo. He asked that umas ha'olam were the umas should not have a shoras hashchina. Vashela shniya ena with Venice. Ki betchila b'shela rishoyna ma'ika sava. So, in other words, what did he think? What did he think would be the it's like Kilu, he needs to ask for Ashuas Hashchina, and then shouldn't be Ashuas Hashchina for the guy. There's something over here very amiss, exactly what does the guy want over here. Let's just finish, and then we'll talk about it. So I think the coin is sussing. It's not clear 100%. I think this is his kasha and this is parrot. His kasha was, if you need a bakasha that there should be shchin on Kal Yisrael, so you obviously don't need a bakasha that shouldn't be shchin on Mitzoylam. If you need to be mispalted, then the goyim don't have that. No one's asked for it. That lechur is his kasha. You could ding up the kasha and say once there's ashrat hashchina, it's shayr everywhere. But I'm not so sure what he wants over here. I see the magi on the bottom is also not so sure. But his point is, Tom is nageh for every. Tom requires a special bakasha, and that's something that he needed to be bakasha kaya. So that it should be bebchinas hatam. Then he said, "Va'achak abishes nareich lo evitachomu ki yedua." And then he was a spalal v'doy. Then he was a spalal. They should not have a bechinas areich. And obviously, what it means is they have it in a very, very weak form. He had said just now that they do have reach, so it's not as if they don't have reach, but it's a very, very it's a color stick, a form of the reach. But like v'zeh shama l'reach b'shvil reach shenem gakach atzmon rochik. That's why it says l'reach shmanecha, because of the reach shmanecha that is kind of floats to the distance the nenem rochik. Al kena lamas uvoch k'moda amrit. And so on. So the Umas Olam heard about Klal Yisrael. They heard about Klal Yisrael, and therefore they came and they said, by Yeshua, but then they said, you know, we heard about you, and that's why we're coming to you. So he says over here, The because of this little reach that nenek tas mirachik, because Hashem is shemacha, that's why we came. So I think what it means is that he's saying the only thing they have in the reach is the ability to find Torah and Kol Yisrael. In other words, if a ger really wants him as Gaia, he comes and joins Kal Yisrael. There is no Torah given to the Umas Olam, even not the Reach. It's not as if they have Torah light, but they do have enough of a Reach that it can be drawn. If they're drawn to Kal Yisrael, they become part of Kal Yisrael as well. It's one of the things in Geirus, Putin writes about it, Meduyuk, that you tell a Geir two things. You tell him first, you should know that Kal Yisrael it's in really bad nafsu zone of them. You really don't want to become part of them. They're always being persecuted, etc. And he's supposed to say halavai shmi zaycha. And then you mudir him mitzvahs kalas chamuras. And he's supposed to also say, you know, adaita I agree. So the Rebbe says that there are two things that you need to take place in Gera. One is that you makabel mitzvahs, and the second one is that you become part of Kal Yisrael. The order is actually reversed. Becoming part of Kal Yisrael is the first business, order of business, and then accepting the Torah personally. The point is, there is no Torah to be accepted while you're a goy. Not only while you're a goy and not accepting Torah, that's not by definition, but as long as you're not a member of Kal Yisrael, there is no real Torah. You can obviously sense the matzav of Kal Yisrael, and you can sense what Kal Yisrael is has and be drawn to it. But then the most it can do for you is make you part of Kal Yisrael and be makabatar like that, but not as a goy. So they don't have reach as a complete thing, but rather they have reach as as throughout the Kal Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then he says, so the next piece over here is Kabbalistic, and the Reach Manecha Shemen Al Kena Lamasevucha Said Kav Mishrech Hashem, so on. They made it over here in Rashi letters. So Alamasevucha, Alamas Heim Ayin Alamas Shehu Kain. It says. Al-Kain. So Al-Kain Al-Lomos Avucha, he's dashing the Kain to be Ayin, which is Ayin Umes. L'Reach Teresh HaMikzav, Yishakeini Hu Teresh HaValpeh, so Yishakeini Min Shigas Pi Hu Teresh HaValpeh, it's the Peh, and it's the Chiba through the Peh, V'kach Nema Pihu, we saw that by Rikos, Mashcheini Hu Rozen De Raisa, so let's and then he says Shashim who rose the tefila who mitzvah. Let's talk a little bit about this and explain a little bit. So let's read the psukim the way he is learning up the psukim. The Reach Shmonecha Lomer Seivucha. That's the b'chinas reach teresh b'ksav, and that's why alamos come, and they're looking for more. Moshcheni achrecha narutza. So he says, Moshcheni is the rosa deraisa, and that's where Havian Melech Hadara. So let's look at the big picture. The Goyen is saying that there are three dargas. There are the Umas Ha'olam HaSen on the outside, and all they can be nana from is B'chinas Reach. There is Neshika, which is a chibur to the guf of the Melech, and that's Torah Shebal Peh. And then the Melech has a Panimius, and that is Sodeh Torah, Chadra Torah Pnimiyim, and that's so Mashcheni Achrecha Nerutza is the second step. In other words, bring me from a position of being an outsider to being Mizdabik to you, and bring me a position from being Mizdabik to Pnimiyis HaTorah. Let's discuss and understand the two stages over here. Dibuk and Chibur on a physical level has a clearly defined limit. There's just, you know, the neshika is the closest you get. And, you know, the neshika of the peh, the neshika of the evarim, that's it. So you nishaber and it's dabik, but there's no place to go further. There's no steiging over there. There's no growth. The chibur has a maximum, and a physical maximum, and that's it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof. So where do I connect to the Ein Sof HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And, you know, once I get there, been there, done that, that's it. I have a chav of mine. It's actually a Rosh Hashiva in New York, but the Bach, he was very sharp with it and a bit of a lesson. So he told him, if he said, Aaron, I have a riddle for you. I went on a bus to up north in Yerushalayim, this is in Israel, and the bus was full of boys and girls. In the front half of the bus, nobody was talking. In the back half, they were talking all the time. You know, what's the difference? So it was obvious. The people in the front were married, the people in the back not. So, you know, once a person gets to a certain chin of dibuk, that's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof. So the answer is there is a panemius to that. That panemius is really bligvul. So just like you get to know to become friendly with somebody, but if the person has depth, there's always more depth that I can tap into. So certainly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's something like that. So I need one Meshicha, the Reach, to get me to Bechina of Peh, of Tam, and then I need to get from that Bechina to Raza Torah, which is where the Ein Sof Torah is. And the truth is, it's not just Kabbalah. And the Rambam, the Rambam lists what a person should be learning, Shlis this, Shlis that, and then the Rambam says, but once he knows all of Torah, he should spend most of his time on Gemara, which is not Gemara in the sense that we have it. It's Gemara means any Amkus B'Torah. The Torah has vulois in terms of its chitonius. You have Chamisha Chumshe Torah, you have Kof Dalet Sfarim of Nevi'im, you have Shas. The Mishnah and the Gemara is on it within the Hashemah. Fine. Atkan Torah. So that's finite. The answer is yes. And that's why a person needs to learn until he knows it. That's more or less one part of his Chiyum Talmud Torah. Now, when I'm Misamik in any part of Torah, being Misamik is the essence of something that doesn't have natural Gevulah. It's sort of without Gevulah. And that's where the person deheres the Ein Sof of Torah. So the first pasuk is, get me from this outside to being an insider, the Mizdabik. And then the second half is, take me from Gvulois to that which is beyond Gvulois.
Uh-huh. So when we learn, I mean, maybe this is a superficial understanding of some of the things that we learn, but to me, when I'm sitting and learning Be'ian, it seems that when you go through, you know, the Mishnah, let's say, and the Gemara, and the Rishonim, you know, some of the Rishonim, the Amkus,
right,
at least maybe this is superficial, but the Amkus is when I could go into the Achroidim and see how they're understanding the Gemara and understanding the Rishonim, and, you know, how they interplay with each other and different shitas, and that's like, you know, the deepest depth that I can understand. But, you know, that's just understanding, you know, the way the Rambam, what was pashut to the Rambam, because I'm not nearly as smart, so I need a,
right,
you know, a thousand years of explanation to understand what the Rambam held as being surfistic. So is that considered Amkus, or is that just, you know, okay, we're very shrach, and, you know, to understand very simplistic things. Meaning, when we discuss Amkus over here, is that the Amkus of Ian in learning in yeshiva, or is that referring to something else that's maybe beyond us?
It's something which is the every learning of Amkus, every learning of Amkus really is, what's the right word for it? It's manafshach. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant it, then that's not a chiddush. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't mean it, that's bad news. So what am I trying to do when I do Amkus? The answer is, whenever I'm Megala, my assumption is obviously that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mendes, and it was in there, and it was Gonos. And therefore, it's something which is a dover. It's something which is kind of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant it wasn't this gala, and the Mela, it's something which will come out, and that is Wilamkus. So being Megala a Teichen. So when I learn something, and I dehair something that I didn't dehair before, that's something that will become my my gilui of a nuknimis of Torah. It's something which is Torah, but it has in behesta. It's just like, let's take something. If I learned something and I knew the words, and I could repeat it to you, but I didn't dehair its depth, and now I dehair it. That's a gilui of amkus that wasn't there before, and that gilui of amkus is really what we're talking about.
So if I come, if I see a pshat in Rav Reuven Margolis, it's only just because that's the
right
one that popped into my head, and he's saying a pshat in the Gemara that the Rishonim don't really, that if you plug it into two different Rishonim, it seems to work with both of them, and it understands the Gemara, and this seems to be the side of the Sukkia, even though it's seemingly unspoken. Is that
right?
Is that more progress? I mean, do we say that the Rambam understood that to be the Pashtos, and I couldn't see it, so the Rambam knew it, and he didn't feel it needed to be spoken, because that's the qual that he's giving,
So that's a different question, I guess, about whether or not we're supposed to ask ourselves, how did the Rishonim not see it or not understand it? Am I better than them? Someone asked me, I was learning with Rav Bachram or Rav Bachanan, and I tried to give a different teretz than Rav Bachanan said. So the boy asked me, he's a young boy, he's a boy in 11th grade, and he said to me, how am I supposed to look at this? Now I'm giving a test, Rav Bachanan didn't say, how am I supposed to look at it? So he said, my chinuch was that, as far as the chinuch, everyone can say what they feel. There may be good reasons why it's not good, but, you know, I'm not mechuyev to say it can't be because Rav Chanan didn't say so. I'm mechuyev to be mitzamek. On a Tosfos, you say if Tosfos doesn't hold of it, why did Tosfos not hold it? What does Tosfos understand that didn't hold of it? But on a Chanan, Achan is supposed to help you understand, and, you know, I don't know, it never was an issue of why don't they say it.
Uh-huh. So we would perceive it as progress, you know, when you have a geshmak of shot that seems to work, that is progress.
Correct.
It's not just that, you know.
And certainly it's progress for you. You have to understand something. The Pnimius Atayr in this sense is a lot more focused on you rather than on something that could be published.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're deharing something. It's just like when you eat, you the food comes into you. You might be sitting with somebody else by the table, but you're eating yourself. You don't eat together in the sense that you both put your mouth together to the food. It's each person digests himself, each person dehairs himself. So anything that has to do with that chelak haTorah, yes, so the person is digesting it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, so I have to hold it here. Teach.
Okay, later. Fine. Does Rebbe have 1 minute, or Rebbe needs to run out?
Yeah, a minute.
So just because it's mamish like relevant to something I was thinking for a while, I've been learning Chodesh Rashi. I just finished my second cycle of the whole year of doing Chodesh with Rashi. And on one hand, it's great, because I know the Pashup Shot for everything, because you saw all the Rashis. But on the other hand, I haven't really looked at anything else, because the whole week, anytime I get a chance to learn Chumash, I have to finish up the whole Pasha with Rashi. So I guess this is a question on that specific example, and even on a larger scale, I'm always clarifying. I spend time learning comprehensively with my Chavrusa, you know, sugyas that we do the Mishnah, the Gemara, all the Gemaras, all the Rishonim, and the Achredim, and the Paiskim, and the Heintek Paiskim, like very, very comprehensively, and I feel like I'm not covering enough, you know, just basic Gemara Rashi, And the same thing with the Chumash. I'm covering Chumash Rashi, but I'm not getting, you know, the depth. Is there a way to measure, you know, what's primary, what's secondary? Is it, you know, I heard in a shiur from Rav Gifter that he said that when you learn Chumash, it's Chumash Rashi. When you finish Chumash Rashi, then you could talk about any other things. But the Taitz of Chumash is Chumash Rashi. Like, I don't feel like I'm getting to know the Chumash on the next level because I'm spending all my time with just the Pashut Rashis.
All right. So Chumash Rashi is... Chumash Rashi also requires, what's the right word for it, to think into something, to understand something. You know, there's one thing for us to know what the pshat, and then there's also to know it, understand it. You can analyze a lot in Chumash, and you can anurashi and ask what Rashi says. I think there's room and there's a branch out to try other things. It's hard to it's very very hard to because they don't have what to work. You know, most people tend to go on Ramban, and that doesn't always work for anybody. I would say, I had a chav of mine, who's...
Hello? Yeah.
I had a chav of mine, who's father, every year, there's a different state that learned. Besides Rashi, learned from the other state.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But is that a break in Shnei Mikra? I'm saying Chumash Rashi is the king of Shnei Mikra. Is that... I don't know if I would be able to finish all the Ramban.
If it's a Pirush that comes from the Chumash, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Dilchus, I'm sure somebody's put out really safe on Dilchus. Shai Mikra and Tagus.
So then if I could be Mekayim Shnei Mikra by reading Targum, which I never liked to do because I just never felt like I was really learning anything by doing Targum.
I mean,
So that would be something for the kiyamit, so that I could do that on a basic level, and then I could be looking at whatever other mafarshim after, because like I was mamish torn every single week. I'm spending half of my Shabbos of my learning is just with Chumash Rashi, and I know most of these things, but I have to run through it, and it's a big parsha, and it's okay. And then in the general sense of the, I mean, I know you could probably have this discussion for hours, but. Of focusing on the Amkos versus focusing on the, the width or the broad breadth of Torah. Okay, fine. Shkoyach, Rabbi. Sorry to hold you up. Take care. Have a nice day.
Have a good night.